In a moment, we will finish out the week of our TV greats matchups to go with the NCAA tournament, but we need to note that the Elite Eight competition for men's basketball, the eight will be set in the next few days. Those eight have been upstaged by talk this week of a Super Elite 60. In the wake of a decision by the National Labor Relations Board to allow Northwestern University's football team to unionize. If the big school teams, and there are believed to be about 60, have to treat their elite athletes as employees in the future, part of an $11 billion sports entertainment enterprise, what does that do to everything else, everywhere else, and everyone else in college sports? We're going to spend a few minutes now with Gabe Feldman, law professor and director of Tulane University's sports law program. Gabe, welcome.
Thanks. How are you?
Great. This has opened up such a can of worms. I mean, everything from Title IX to the difference between big schools and small schools to what is a scholarship. You want to take one?
Sure. I mean, let's start at the very beginning and say all these questions that have been raised about, well, what is going to happen to college football and college basketball if Northwestern football players and other football players can unionize? It's going to destroy college sports. We heard many of those very same things when Major League Baseball players talked about unionizing. And Major League Baseball and the other professional sports are doing just fine right now. It will cause a radical shift in the way the schools and the athletes and the conferences do business, but I don't know that necessarily makes a radical change in the end product. It could, but we're a long way from knowing how this is all going to shake out, because remember, all we have is a preliminary ruling from a regional director of the NLRB in Chicago that's going to get appealed to the full board and then all the way up to the federal court and maybe all the way to the Supreme Court. And it only applies to private schools.
Although
the NLRA does not apply. Yep, go ahead.
Since you opened the door on the baseball analogy, are we going to see sometime in the future a Miguel Cabrera freshman going to college with a $260 million contract all of a sudden? Because that's what free agency gave us in baseball.
Well, I think it gave us a free market. And I think if we end up with a free market in college sports, we may have the 1% or the 0.5% of the stars on college football teams maybe making a lot of money. And I don't think that the remainder of the football players, the basketball players, are going to be breaking the bank. Some may actually get less than they do now if it's a free market. So I don't know what the answer is going to be. Dictate that, but that's just one possible result. Just because you have a union and collective bargaining doesn't mean that you're going to get true free agency. That's something that took a while for the baseball players to get and all professional athletes to get, and it may not be what the college athletes get, because all employers are going to have to decide in any unionized industry how much you can afford to pay your employees. And so when you talk about the impacts of Title IX, the limitations of small schools versus big schools, that's going to be a factor, and not all college athletes are going to get rich just because they might be able to form unions at their schools.
But the NCAA already treats recruited athletes kind of like a free market system. I'm just wondering if the net effect of treating athletes as employees means that instead of college admissions, it becomes a kind of a draft for those top 60 schools.
Well, I think that's probably where we are already in a sense. And it's just that the benefits that the student athletes are getting are capped. And so these schools are trying to find different ways to attract them. And there's all this money floating around, but the money right now is, as we know, flowing to the coaches and flowing to athletic departments and flowing to facilities. It's just not flowing to student athletes. So this would just say, we're going to continue competing for these student athletes the same way, but this time they're getting more of a benefit out of it.
Last minute, Gabe. Will the money flow to women's sports under Title IX in a different way, the way things are going here?
It would have to, unless there's a change to Title IX. And I think people are saying, well, this might destroy women's sports and non-revenue sports. This actually might help them, because you have to factor that into how much you're going to pay these football players. Because if you're going to pay them $1 million, then you got to find $1 million to go to, or roughly, to go to female athletes. And if you don't have $1 million for both, then you pay $500,000 to the men, $500,000 to the women. So I think this could actually benefit women in the long run.
Interesting. A lot of implications, a lot of question marks. Gabe Feldman is law professor and director of Tulane University's sports law program. Have a great weekend, Gabe.
Thanks, you too.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.